few days late on this topic. I realized I never gave a 10-minute lecture about rainbows and saying a bracha on a rainbow. So this is a Parshas Noach topic. But it could happen. It could rain and we could see a rainbow. Remember Erev Rosh Hashanah, there was a big, beautiful rainbow across the sky. So I want to talk a little bit about the bracha on a rainbow and looking at rainbows and the halachic ramifications of rainbows. There is a bracha, there is a gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Va'am Rabbi Alexandri, Am Rabbi Shobin Levi, Haroes Hakeshes Ba'anan, Tzarech She'yipol Al Panav. Someone sees a rainbow in the cloud, he needs to fall on his face. She'nemar, because the pasuk says, Kimare Hakeshes Asher Yecha Anan, like the appearance of a rainbow that would be in the clouds on a rain. Any day, so too is the appearance of the brilliance all around. That was the appearance of Hashem, of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'erev ha'apol al panai. When I saw him, I fell on my face. Meaning that the rainbow is the closest approximation to the glory and the splendor and the majesty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Layit ala b'ma'arava. In Eretz Yisrael, they heard about such a practice and they cursed such a practice. They condemned such a practice. Mishum de Mexicum and de Sogid Lekashta, because it makes it look like one is bowing to the rainbow itself. So you're going to fall on your face when you see a rainbow. It's going to look like you're bowing to the rainbow. And that's a terrible thing. But the Gemara says, while you should not bow, you should recite a bracha. My mevarich, what is the bracha? Anyone here ever have Mr. Mandelbaum as a math teacher in DRS? Didn't he ask that? There used to be his extra credit question on math tests, I believe, was what is the bracha on a rainbow? So the Gemara asked the question, my mevarich, but I'm not going to make you say. Baruch zocher abris, the Gemara says. B'masni satana, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Yochanan ben Broko, Omer, Neman b'viso v'kayom b'ma'amaro. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trustworthy in his bris, and he fulfills his word. Amar Rav Papa Hilkach l'minu l'tervayah. So we should say both texts. Baruch zocher abris, v'neman b'viso v'kayom b'ma'amaro. Good, that is the bracha on a rainbow. A person sees a rainbow, they should be overwhelmed by its majesty, by its glory, by its beauty, but don't bow down. Instead, say a bracha. The problem is, there seems to be a Gemara Masechet Chagiga Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph that goes directly against this, because the Gemara tells us, Kol Shalochas Al Kavod Kono. Anyone who does not heed the honor of his Creator, Rasui Lo Shalom Bali Olam, he would have been better off never having come into this world, never having been created. Mahi, what does it mean? Someone who is not concerned about the honor of Kodesh Baruch. Rabbi Abba Mirza Mistakel Bakeshas. That's a reference to someone who looks, who gazes at a rainbow. Rabbi Yosef Mirza over Aver Beseis. Rabbi Yosef says, no, it's someone who commits Averos privately. Mistakel Bakeshas, Tichsiv Kimara Akeshas, Shariah Banan Biyamageshem, like the appearance of a rainbow on a rainy day. Kain Mare Anogal Saviv. So too was the appearance of the brilliance all around. Humar Debus Kvar Hashem, the appearance of the likeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and uses the same pasuk, but this time it teaches us that one is not supposed to be mistakel, one is not supposed to gaze at a rainbow. So it seems that we have almost two contradictory Gemaras. One Gemara that tells us how important it is to be impressed by the rainbow and to say a bracha when you see the rainbow, and in fact that is paskins in Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Chav Tes Si'if Aleph Haroa Keshes Omer Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Zocher Abris Neman Bevriso V'Kayam B'Ma'amaro V'Asur L'Istakel Bo Be'Yoser. But the other Gemara also makes it into Shulchan Aruch that one is not allowed to be Mistakel Bo Be'Yoser. What does it mean to be Mistakel Bo Be'Yoser? So what the Shulchan Aruch is hinting to is the answer to the problem that we raised. How could it be you have a chiyuv to look and to make a bracha if you're not allowed to look? You're not allowed to be Mistakel. How could it be that you're going to say a bracha so you're not allowed to look at? So the truth is, this is not the only place that this question comes up. This question was asked by later Achronim about the Queen of England. What does it mean? It's asked about the Queen of England. There is a bracha one recites when seeing royalty. Yet the Gemara tells us that one is not allowed to be mistakel at an isha. One is not allowed to gaze at a woman. Afilu be'etzpa ketana. Even at the little finger of a woman, one is not allowed to gaze. So, frecht some of the Achronim, how could anyone ever make a bracha on the Queen of England? You're not allowed to see the Queen of England. You're not allowed to be mistakel. Same kasha they ask about a rainbow. How can you make a bracha on a rainbow? You're not allowed to be mistakel at the rainbow. So the answer is, Sefer Chassidim writes that he asked the Rush what he thought about this question, and the Rush said that there's a big difference between looking and gazing. There's a big difference between seeing and gazing. Mistakel means to look intently at, to focus on. That's what would be problematic. But to just see, to see something, would not be problematic. So to see a rainbow, that's perfectly fine. To sit there admiring its beauty for an extended period of time, not as fine. That one should not do. Now, it should be noted, the fact that there's a bracha means that it made an impression on the person. There's a bracha shevach v'odah, and certainly that's the context of the Gemara. The Gemara says that people would bow. Okay, so we don't bow, but we say a bracha because we're so impressed by it. So you look enough to be impressed by it, but not enough to be sitting there gazing at it. Rav Avadya Yosef in Yabia Omer, or Chaim Chelek Vav Simen Yud Gimel, points out that this there's a Gemara in Avodah Zarah Dav Chaf that sounds a little bit against this rush, because the Gemara tells us that Rav holds that a person is not supposed to say how beautiful a certain non-Jew is, because it's a violation of Lo Sichanim. So one should not remark on the beauty of a non-Jew. That would violate the issue of Lo Sichanim. Lo Sichanim, of course, means three different things, but one of them is Lo Sitin Lahem Chein, that you're not allowed to give extra chein, extra grace, extra credit, I guess, to an Ovid Chavim. So the Gemara asks, well, wait a second, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel used to praise a non-Jewish woman for being beautiful. Rabbi Akiva cried when Ternesrovs' wife tried to seduce him because he realized how beautiful she is and how quickly the beauty is gone. So the Gemara asks, how are they allowed to notice such beauty in women if, after all, one is not allowed to be mistakel at women? The Gemara says, oh, it was by accident. They were walking around a corner, and the woman was coming in the other direction, and boop, she just was right there, so they couldn't help it. But of course, they never would have looked at a woman in the first place. So they never would have noticed. They only noticed. That's the answer the Gemara gives. Says Rav Avadya, if you're allowed to look, you're just not allowed to gaze. If mistakel means nisr to gaze, but really you're allowed to look. Since nishkan kasha, you don't have a kasha in the first place on Rav Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. Why? Because Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. Because there was no problem to look. The problem is only to stare. So, nevertheless, the shita of the Rush quoted by the Sefer Chassidim seems to be the very widely accepted opinion that one is allowed to see, one is not allowed to be mistakel. Perhaps one could argue that if a person, the people of their caliber, of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Gemara was working with the assumption never would have even looked because out of a concern that they'd be mistakel, perhaps, or maybe knowing the reputation of beauty that these women have, they would not have put themselves through that nisayon of looking and then being mistakel. Whatever the answer is, the explanation of the Rush seems to be what we accept halacha lemaisa. There is another interesting halachic point relating to rainbows, and that is the Chayei Adam writes that also the stakel bo b'yoser, and then in parentheses in little Rashi letters he writes umatzasi b'sefer echad shmo ne'elam mimeni, that I saw in a certain sefer whose name is hidden from me. I forgot the name of the sefer she'en lahagid lechaver. That one should not tell his friend when there's a rainbow. Shouldn't say, oh, look there's a rainbow, because that is like spreading bad news. Meaning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings a rainbow, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way of saying that the world deserves to be destroyed. That's what the Gemara in Ksubas, Gemara in Ksubas tells us, I forgot which Amora it was, but when he died, that they were saying, Panu Makom, up in Shemayim, they were saying, okay, everyone clear the way, a big tzaddik is coming, big tzaddik is coming. And then when he got there, they said, Reisa Keshes Biyamecha, or Nearest Keshes Biyamecha, was there ever a rainbow while you were alive? And he said, yeah, there was a rainbow while I was alive. And they said, he's not such a big tzaddik if there was a rainbow while he was alive. And the Gemara says, Velohi, he was lying. There wasn't really a rainbow when he was alive. He just didn't want to take credit for being such a big tzaddik. Why would it reflect on the idea that maybe he's not such a big tzaddik if there was a rainbow during his lifetime? Because a rainbow is apparently a reflection of the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the world, deems the world fitting to be destroyed, but isn't doing it because of the promise, because of the bris, of the covenant that he made with Noach, that he's not going to destroy the world ever again, symbolized by the rainbow. So says the Chayei Adam, to tell someone else that there's a rainbow is to share bad news, and one is not supposed to share bad news. Where do we know that you're not supposed to share bad news? It's a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Gimel and Daf Dalet. The Gemara talks about Rabbi Chiya, who the Gemara talks about Rabbi Chiya's, that Rav's father was Rabbi Chiya's half brother, and Rav's mother was Rabbi Chiya's half sister. So when Rav saw Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya said, "Hey, is your father still alive?" He said, "Why don't you ask me about my mom?" "Okay, is your mom still alive? Why don't you ask me about my dad?" So clearly the Gemara says he was trying to avoid having to be motzi diba to spread bad news. So we see from there that a person is supposed to try to avoid spreading bad news. That's what the Chayyadim is working off of when he says that one should not inform someone else of a rainbow. Comes up in other areas of Halach as well. Shulchan Aruch in Yaradeya, in Siman Tav Beis, if Yud Beis, says that a person is not supposed to inform people of death. It's a major question in the Masifta in the back of Nazir, I think it is, has a whole discussion about what do they call it in the newspapers when they publish that someone died, obituary, right, about putting the obituaries, about putting death announcements in the newspapers, why that's okay. There's a Tshuva Salmas Chaim, Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, where he says, no, that's only in Ksav, it's a problem, motzi diba is verbally, but maybe in Ksav, it's okay. Salmas Chaim was also asked, but wait a second, the Rama over there in Shulchan Aruch says, let's say you need to tell a man that his mother died, or his father died, so that he can say Kaddish. So the Rama says, that's okay, for a Dvar Mitzvah, it's okay. So Salmas Chaim says, wait a second, then why can't you tell someone about a rainbow? What would be the problem? It's for the Dvar Mitzvah, so that he's able to say the bracha. So he says, okay, maybe saying a bracha is not as big a Dvar Mitzvah as saying Kaddish. So that's why you shouldn't share the news about a rainbow. But it's unbelievable, the Mishnah Brura in Siman Reish Chav Tes, in Sivkat and Aleph, right away, the very first words of the Mishnah Brura, and that's in that seminar, Ve'in kedai lahagad l'chaver sheish kashas, that it's not appropriate to go tell someone else that there's a rainbow. Mitam motzi diba, and he's quoting, obviously, from the Chayei Adam. But it's a Chayei Adam in little letters, in parentheses, quoting a sefer that he forgot the name of. And yet, once the Mishnah Brura puts it as the very first words in that siman, so it becomes something that everyone knows about, that you try not to tell other people about a rainbow. Rav Sternbach in the Tshuva in Chelek Gimel, Siman Ayin Vav, Osvav writes that maybe one should be careful when it comes to this bracha, you risk bracha levatala, because it could be that the chi of bracha is only when it's a perfect semicircle and you see the whole thing. But when you just see a straight rainbow, or you see part of a rainbow, then maybe one would not recite a bracha. Also, the post can point out one does not have to stand when saying this bracha. And there's also discussion about the frequency with which this bracha is supposed to be recited. If a person sees a rainbow, then closes his eyes and then opens his eyes again, and lo and behold, there's a rainbow there again, certainly you would not make another bracha. It would have to be a new rainbow, a rainbow that was not continuously there in order to require a new bracha. Okay, that's a little bit of information about the bracha on a rainbow.